We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome in to another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Robbie Hummel. And you got a day off Saturday. You must be excited. I mean, you were
bouncing around. I'm in mourning because I was going to do a nice American Conference game, but yeah. Now it's canceled. So I get to watch Auburn, Kentucky, silver lining.
You know, there are no good American Conference games right now. There are none. Maybe Houston, Memphis, only for the simple fact of like dying to see which Memphis team will show up. And but Ron Hunter, you know what? Tulane's got it going a little bit. I'm excited for Ron Hunter.
I was sad to see Rasheed Wallace go at Memphis. That's tough. But I did see
sometimes.
He's an advisor.
Rob, sometimes you need to get the vaccination.
Oh, is that why?
That might be why.
Yeah, you know that. All right. Yes.
So there are rules and regulations some places. And if you don't get the vax, you don't coach. Yeah. So that could be why. Anyway. Yeah. All right. So we got a huge game this weekend. Maybe, I don't know if I want to say the biggest game of the season, but it's up there, Rob, because now – college football is over, so I feel like now people are watching on Saturdays. They're watching college hoops. Yep. And we've had some really good games, starting with Champions Classic. You know, I was at Villanova, UCLA was a great one in Vegas. Obviously, we had some really good games, Gonzaga, Duke. But this one, Auburn, Kentucky, it's great for a lot of reasons. And it's great because you have like, almost like David and Goliath in a way, right? I mean, Kentucky is college basketball.
In terms of program histories.
Yeah. Auburn's a football school.
Right.
Right? But Bruce Pearl has taken David and turned it into a Goliath because they're arguably the number one team in the country right now. I mean, think about that.
Did David go to Final Fours?
Did David?
Yeah, you think a David of college basketball has been to a Final Four in the last 3 years?
No, that's a good point. I
mean, like, if it was Valpo and Kentucky, and Valpo was all of a sudden number three in the country coming out of whatever, Horizon League or
– So like Butler in the Horizon.
Sure, yeah, that is David.
All right, that's fair. All right, Auburn's not David. They've just absolutely sucked before Bruce Pearl got there in the Tony Barbee and Jeff Lebo years. And they had been irrelevant for a long time. And it had been one of the worst, if not the worst, Power Five job, college basketball job in America when Bruce Pearl accepted it and really had no other choice because nobody else was really going after him on his show cause. So the other part of this is Cal and Bruce, they'll shake hands, they'll phony it up with the best of them, but they can't stand one another.
Does that go back to Tennessee, Kentucky, I assume?
Yes. That goes back. How about this? This goes back when Tennessee was number one, came to Memphis as number two, That was the start also of my rift between me and Cal Perry. That's when it started.
It's all coming full circle now here.
Full circle right now. Full circle. Maybe I should get in a plane.
Was that game – that was, I think, my junior year, and we had played Tennessee that year. That was like the Brian Williams. Those guys got in trouble right after that?
I don't remember. I don't remember if
it was Tyler Smith and Brian Williams and those guys.
Brian Williams was on the team. Yeah. Brian Williams was definitely on that team. It would have been 2006.
No, it was when I was in school. I think it was 09.
Oh, 09, 12 years. Yeah, I'm sorry. 09. You're right. Here it was. So it was hold on. I'm gonna find it in a minute. But anyway, all right, let's set up first this Auburn debate of whether they're really number one in the country or it's Gonzaga. Do we even care? I don't really care at all, because I think you could throw 10, 12 teams in a hat right now and they're all national title contending type teams. But Auburn might be the most surprising of the bunch when you talk about them prior to the season and where people had them ranked. And I remember talking to, we talked to Bruce about this. He was worried about his point guard situation.
Yeah. Well, that sorted itself out. I mean, when you look at what they have, I think the Georgia guards, and I know Georgia's not very good, but they're going to see Zeb Jasper and they're freaking nightmares. That dude is into the ball and he is making your life miserable. It's going to be fun to watch him go up against what Kentucky's bringing to the table in Sevier Wheeler, Ty Washington, Davion Mintz. But, yeah, Wendell Green can score it. Katie Johnson's a junkyard dog. They all are. They play with swagger. They don't not the biggest guys. What, Wendell Green's 5'11". Katie Johnson's 6 foot. Zeb Jasper, 6'1". But they're confident in themselves. They play with swag. They play fast. They play hard. And then you mix that in with a big-time shot blocker in Kessler, and you have a elite talent in Jabari Smith. I mean, it's like this has come together in a way where when you watch Auburn play, well, you get the good things of Bruce Pearl and the way he coaches alongside a nice mix of talent. And I thought it was interesting when we had Coach Pearl on the podcast. He doesn't shy away from little guards. A lot of coaches do. He does not give a shit.
I don't want a little guard.
No, I know. And you have to have the right ones. Because I've seen little guards plenty of times, as you have and anybody has, where they just, if you're going to switch, they're going to get pumped. And you can't do anything about it. But if you have the right guys who will fight and understand angles, leverage, all that, you can do it. And they have. But you're right. What a job he's done and kind of putting this team together. Transfers, I mean, it's just – he's done a great job with it. The transfers he's gotten have been phenomenal.
I just can't believe they've been able to sustain it. Last year they were a disappointment. Sharif Cooper was suspended at the beginning of the year, came back and, turned it over a lot. Like, Sharif was, interesting, right? I mean, I didn't –
It felt like a record. It felt like he was just there to lead,
Yes. Where now
– You're going to dip. That's fine. You have to be. Like, you can't just go to the – You could go G League now, but, it is what it is. It just didn't feel like it was all that genuine, I guess you could say.
Jabari, man, we've had him on twice on After Dark so far this year. Man, he is impressive. Like, on the court, obviously, he's super impressive. Off the court, he's just so likable, Rob. Like, he's so real and fun and loose and says the right things, but also is honest and says, I've been disrespected. I feel like I've been disrespected because everybody at that point, this was 3 weeks ago, everybody talks about Paolo and Chet. Now it's changed. It really has. Like,
no doubt. I wish somebody would respect me and be like, like that.
The third pick.
Respect me like that.
Right.
He is so talented. I mean, the game just, it looks so easy for him. But if you're 6'11", you have a flame. You got to handle.
It's amazing.
It really is. I have to give props to the Auburn fans. Do you know how much standing room only tickets are going for this game?
No.
Take a guess. I looked it up.
Standing room only, I don't know, $50? Standing room only? 200? $200. Shut up. Come on. Three, four?
$311 is what they were going for this afternoon.
Holy shit.
Like, and you know what? I just think I've seen the way they've gone at you on Twitter, and I know they have a passionate fan base. I respect it. I love it. Hold them accountable. Hold them accountable for what he said in the past. But
yeah, and we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the fan bases in a few minutes and the craziest, most insane fan bases. You can take it from the player's side. I'll take it from the media side. But you're right. Like, Auburn fans are hungry for it. And I wonder, like, how much of that is Bruce Pearl, who's out in the community?
It's a lot of right? it. He's engaged the fans. I mean, I was watching the Georgia game. And my first thought was this honestly, and no disrespect to the SEC, Kentucky has great fans, Tennessee has great fans, but that to me, it was like, this is like a Big Ten atmosphere. The Big Ten, they lead the country in attendance every year. And it's just, it seems like when you look at the Michigan States, Wisconsin, Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, those are the types of environments you have. And Auburn was comparable. I mean, it was a freaking raucous crowd.
So Kentucky going to Auburn in this one, the crowd's going to be crazy. I was there for a Kentucky Auburn game a few years ago and the crowd was freaking bananas. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I think the crowd will probably be the difference maker in this one. To be honest, Rob, I think the teams are close enough in talent and I don't know of another time when John Calipari has coached against Bruce Pearl with probably equal talent, but that's probably what you're looking at, right? The best player on the floor is going to belong to Auburn talent-wise. That's crazy, isn't it?
I think it's surprising just because of what Kentucky has been able to do in stockpile. Now, will he be the best player on the floor on Saturday? Because right, you look at Oscar Tshiebwe. Well, I don't care. You can talk about talent all you want. That dude's motor. He is rebounding in a Dennis Rodman-like fashion. The numbers are – I mean, you lead the country.
Every rebound.
Offensive rebound percentage, defensive rebound percentage. It's two hands. If he's getting his hands on it, it's done. I mean, he is a freaking monster. I saw where I think Sporting News named him a midseason All-American, deservingly so, 16-14. He's had a ridiculous year. So you can talk about talent all you want. This game is going to be won on the glass. Whoever dominates or wins the rebounding edge, I just think that is going to be the game because both teams can do it. Both teams can get out there. They can get on the offensive boards. Kentucky's best offense, even with some of the shooting they have, and they've upgraded their shooting in a major way. When you've got a guy like Tshiebwe, your best offense at times can be just get it up there and let that dude go get it.
The only thing I worry about a little bit is sometimes if you watch – Shibuya's teammates will just stand around and watch him go get it. And if he doesn't, Auburn's got enough other dudes. I mean, they got a kid, Walker Kessler, who's not the most athletic dude in the world, but he's a force, right? Yeah. Like, Shibuya's not going to be able to just dunk on him. Like, he's had his way physically with most of the opponents he's gone after. Now you got Kessler. You got Jabari. They've got other bigs too. I mean, Katie Johnson's a big time athlete. Cardwell is a big boy. So like they can rotate dudes in, and it's like Tshiebwe by himself so many times, and they can't allow that to happen if they're Kentucky.
No, you can get caught watching a guy like that. It was like playing with Kevin Love, where you're just like, dude, he gets every rebound. We don't have to do anything. He's getting 30 in games, you know? Like, what do you mean we got to go rebound? I do want to give you props on Ty Washington because I do remember that at the start of the year, you went to Kentucky to see Coach Cal, and you left that practice, and you said, I believe on this podcast, you were like, hey, man, you're going to like watching Ty Washington play. And at the time, I was like, well, this guy thinks Maryland's bench is good, so –
you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Who knows what that opinion is, but right. I will give you credit. Boy, he can get his pull-up whenever he wants. He can get to that thing whenever he wants it. He's a stud, man. Ty Washington is fun to watch.
And he's got a high IQ as a player, too.
Knows how to score the ball. Knows exactly. He's a pure scorer.
Not a great athlete. And you watch in the NBA, like a lot of players actually who came through Kentucky, they're better in the NBA. And I think for a couple of reasons. I think Cal prepares them well mentally, right? And they've got to compete and practice every single day.
Yeah, for the pros, right.
Right. He teaches them as if they're pros. And a lot of times they are held back just because there's so much talent there, right? Like, look at Tyrese Maxey now, putting up big numbers when he struggled at Kentucky. Jamal Murray was good, but not what he was
before he got hurt. Right.
So I feel like that could be Ty. Like, don't be surprised if Ty is an all-star caliber NBA guard at some point in his career. It would not surprise me one bit.
I saw Kentucky tweeted this out, and this I think deserves repeating. He's now won 4 consecutive SEC Rookie of the Weeks the last 4 weeks. Guess who the other 3 players are who have done that?
Anthony Davis.
He is not one.
Really?
Surprisingly. But the other 3, I mean, it's names like that.
It's
John Wall, it's Nerlens Noel, it's Devin Booker. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty the company good. You keep. And pretty Anthony good. Davis would have belonged in that list too, but he's been so under control. He's scored it. Severe Wheeler was injured for a while, didn't faze him. He's been awesome.
Yeah, that game, again, this game is going to be awesome. 1:00 on CBS, Saturday afternoon.
I'll be tuned in now. Let's go.
We'll be texting through that one, no doubt about it. Gonzaga-Auburn, who are you taking? Like, gun to your head, if you had to not pick who's number one, but if they're playing in the national title game today.
So you're not saying who's resume better. You're saying who would you take in a game today? Right.
I'm taking Gonzaga.
I mean, I think it's a toss-up. Both are top 20 offensive, defensive efficiency teams. Gonzaga is elite on offense. They play with such tempo. I'd probably go Gonzaga still, just because they've been there so much. They have knocked on the door. I think I'd go with Mark Fuse.
And I just think – Chet's confidence is going to soar in the WCC. And I know people are like, well – you know, it's only going to hurt them when they get to the NCAA tournament, because they go from WCC and Portland and Pepperdine and Pacific, all the P's, and they go play in the NCAA tournament. And, like, it's a huge jump. I agree with that. For, like, somebody like Drew Timmy could get bored a little bit. But I think Chet needs that. I think Chet needs that confidence on the offensive end as much as anything else. And I think he'll be a completely different player coming out there and dominating games.
I know when we had Mark Few on on the pod last year, I feel like we talked about this, because I think I had maybe said something about how and he had been listening.
Yeah.
I look at it from a player's perspective. I just thought that when I was at Purdue, our teams got so much better throughout the year because we've been tested so much. You know, you're going on the road to these unreal atmospheres. You're playing at the Breslin Center. You're playing at Assembly Hall. You're playing other teams that are, you know, your Draymond Green is out there. Evan Turner is out there. I get that he's been able to do it, and he thinks that's total a BS comment, which that's fine. I just think it would be so hard to not see teams like that. And then all of a sudden, and you did see him in November. You know, you play Texas.
It's been a long time.
But it is a long time. Yeah. I just think it'd be so strange, because I always thought at Purdue that it was like, you know, we are ready for the NCAA tournament because we've seen Michigan State. We have seen all these teams, whoever, Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio State. And even my last year playing, like, we played Kansas in the second round of the tournament, and they end up going to the national championship game. They lose to Anthony Davis' Kentucky team. But for us, it was like, this is just another like Ohio State. We've seen Jared Sullinger. Like, we've seen William Buford. That's not much different from Thomas Robinson and, you know,
Tyshawn.
All the guys that they're throwing out, Tyshawn Taylor, like, good players.
Yeah.
But it's not like the there's not a drastic drop-off there. Ohio State was a pretty good prerequisite to play against the Kansas. And I just don't think they get it. Now, regardless, they have been in the Final Four. They've won a ton. They've knocked on the door of winning a national championship. So clearly they figured it out. But I just think as a player, it'd be so weird to not be tested throughout January, February, March, the way that other teams like in Auburn think about the SEC. I mean, they are going to go through a gauntlet of good teams.
SEC, Big 12, Big 10 are the haves this year.
Yeah.
Right? The have-nots are clearly the Pac-12 and the ACC. And the WCC, the I don't even count the American. I don't even count it. I don't think it belongs in any of those conversations.
Disrespect
with the Valley
conference.
Maybe the American and the Valley, I would say, like you maybe put those two together. But I think Loyola, I mean, Loyola would compete for the title in the American. I think they give,
if Houston was healthy, no way. I mean, Loyola's good, but they're not. That's true.
But they're not healthy. They're down three right now.
Yeah, they're probably the most injured team in college basketball.
They are.
They have three guards, seriously.
All right, so Kentucky's fan base, I still give the title. I give them the heavyweight title. I don't think I'm ever going to remove the belt. I mean, this is a fan base that, again, got me to where I had to unlist my home number, okay? Years ago. So nobody's taking the title from them. They're out of their minds in a good way for the most part. But when it comes to the craziest fan bases, number two is wide open. And making a push for this are the Texas Tech Red Raiders. They have crushed me recently for a number of things. Number one.
Yeah, you treated them like shit. What do you expect? You talk bad about them, of course they're going to crush you.
I was in Lubbock 2 years ago. So I was in Lubbock about 15 years ago when Bob Knight?
Yeah.
When Bob Knight was ready to break the record, I went to Lubbock, and I remember this was pre-Twitter. And I remember writing in a blog or something like how much I didn't like Lubbock then. And like some people got a hold of it then and killed me. But I went to Lubbock 2 years ago and I really loved it. I had a blast. We went out. I went out with some guys drinking, good spots, great college atmosphere. Fans were awesome. They played Kentucky.
Did they take you to the barbecue place in the middle of nowhere? There's a barbecue restaurant in Lubbock. I don't know the name of it. I should because I've eaten there a couple of times. It's literally in a cornfield or a whatever.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Like it's in the boonies out there. I thought they might take it because I know Beard.
They did not. So I said, I did a deal, something called Chain of Command for every league about 3-4 years ago. Every league, and I polled coaches that had been in the league for an extended period of time on like 8 different categories. You know, resources, fan support, administrative support, buy games.
Just a whole immersive deal. Is this all of them. Yeah.
And do you know where Texas Tech ranked?
In the Big 12 or national?
In the Big 12. I did it for all 32 leagues.
I'm going to guess you put them last.
I didn't put them last. They earned it.
They earned last.
This was after the Elite Eight, before the national title game. It was that summer, okay? So since then, they've gone to a national title game. They have built a new practice facility. I get it. It's changed. No longer are they the worst job in America. And I said worst job. I probably should have said toughest job. Anyway.
Worst.
I know. It sounds bad. I'm not exactly I don't always pick the right words to you know. I'm not always the most sensitive individual here. So I would say now, if I had to do it all over again, or if coaches had to do it all over again, they would probably pick Texas Tech 7th or 8th, I think, in the league. I think Kansas State is clear 10. I think TCU's 9 and 8, like Oklahoma, maybe. I don't know how much they care about basketball. Yeah, like they care, but it's a football job. And Texas Tech fans have been out of their minds. I mean, they are DMing me, killing me. I mean, calling me names that I can't even repeat on here. It hurts my feelings. I've gone
through a lot. You embrace it. I think it makes you feel good. You take the hate, and it all feels like applause, like the true villain.
I don't care. I don't care. I mean, how did you feel when you were a player and people used to go at you and make fun of you for your injuries and call you all sorts of names? How much did you hear that, and how much did it affect you? And how did it affect you?
You definitely hear it. I didn't mind. because I just thought it was funny a lot of the times. And a lot of the student sections were clever. You know, Michigan State, they're chanting Brokeback Hummel because I had a fractured vertebra. We're playing in Alabama. And I think I've told this on the pod before where they got to our Facebooks, printed out life-size photos of us in these Halloween. I was wearing a Buzz Lightyear Halloween costume, like I'm 6 years old. Like a lot of them were funny. And some of them, like I remember at Michigan State, there was this big deal because Coach Paint went after a student because we're losing by 30. And he yelled that he hopes that I blow my knee out again. And I heard it and Paint went off, which I appreciate from him. He didn't have to do that, but he wasn't having that. So he went nuts on this dude. And
I mean, he went after the student.
He was pissed. Yeah. He yelled at him and they asked him about it after the game and stuff. And then they asked Izzo about it. And sure, Coach Izzo was like, we just beat Purdue by 30 points. And you're going to ask me about some stupid. He had to be so mad. For the most part, it was really funny. I remember this is amazing. Another Michigan State thing. I had a teammate and he was a guy that didn't play a lot. And we were warming up we were out at the Breslin Center. Warming up before even warm-ups, just shooting around. And the Izzone's always there super early to heckle the other team pretty much. And they were making fun of his tattoos and, like, where he was from and all this stuff. And he like, shot an air ball. It bothered him. He just went, put his headphones on, sat down. He was like, I'm not going to even deal with this. Yeah. I mean, it can get to guys. It really can. And some of the stuff when it's personal, I know that it gets like that. But for the most part, it's, you know, they find out your girlfriend's name. They find whatever. You know, it's pretty harmless for the most part. I really enjoyed it. I love playing on the road in the Big Ten. There was funny signs. The creativity of a lot of the student sections are pretty good. So it didn't bother me.
So it's not going to – if I get DOS'd or – when we're doing our vertical test in
for heckling me, I think I'll be
to heckle you. It's
I think
not
I'll be
gonna affect you.
No. Here's the thing. I know that you are not athletic. So even if he was heckling me, how is that going to affect me by just saying, hey, I have to jump up and touch something?
You just may not have it. You may get rattled and you may not jump as high as your 19 and a half vertical might go down to like
18. I already said I would retire from everything if I lose. I mean, I have put it all on the line. I'll literally be unemployed. I'll be collecting.
We have you on record. We have you on record. Tyler's, our producer, has you now multiple times saying you will never come out. I mean, your poor girlfriend, like she'll be stuck with you 24/7 now.
I know. She'll just have to deal with me. But the good thing for her is I'm pretty confident that I could never lose to you. If it was a study that was good, it would be like, all right, this is a legit possibility.
All right. So getting back to it, Kentucky is my number one fan base in America. Craziest, most rabid. Can anybody compare with Kentucky, Rob? I mean, Big Ten, there's some crazy ones in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd put Kentucky 1-2. Their fan base is unmatched, I think, in terms of numbers, passion, crazy. Like, you see it all with them. You really do. But I for the most part, think there's some bad to it, and that's any fan base. But it's a lot of good. They're very passionate about Kentucky basketball. Indiana, I think you have to put up there in terms of – some of the stuff you see there. I mean,
are they number one in the Big Ten? Because the Big Ten is hard. There's a few that are in there. For me,
Illinois.
I might put Illinois ahead of Indiana.
Yeah, Illinois' fan base is pretty wild, I would say. I got with the Curbelo stuff. I mean, all I said was he's not an All-American. I think he's an All-Big Ten guy, and they lost it. And with the concussion, who knows? He played like an All-American the other day.
Did.
Which honestly
he
is.
Did. I expect an apology.
He has not one game.
One game.
It's impressive that he sat around for 2 months and dealt with this concussion stuff and just come back and balled against Purdue. Yeah. That's hard to do.
No doubt.
It
was kind of like you.
But you know what? I've seen a lot of Indiana stuff too. And maybe that's a bias because I grew up in the state. But just some of the stuff that you see with like the Brad Stevens stuff where everybody's saying it's not going to happen. But they're still like, packs of people who are just like, yes, it is.
I had to ask him. Do you remember? I had to ask him after it's posted.
No, I remember at 3x3U, there was, you almost got in a fight with somebody because there was one person, if you Titus was Adam.
I don't remember.
What no, was Titus, was, you and Titus and Mark.
Oh, Titus.
Titus believed, he really believed it, though. He did. I think he
couldn't have been that dumb to believe it. He really believed Brad Stevens was going.
I mean, we would have to ask him, but I asked him at 3x3U, I feel like, and he was like, no, I really believed he was coming. I really think he did.
Wow. Wow.
But I just, you know, I've seen a lot in Indiana where I've heard some of the stuff that gets said in the crowd as a player. And I've been there as a broadcaster where a random 75-year-old fan comes up to me, asks me to take my headset off so he can tell me that it's a disgrace that I'm calling the game on the floor, points to the top and says, they should make you call the game from up there. Like, I've seen that, but that's what makes a good rivalry. That's why tonight is going to be awesome. Right. If he came up to me and was like, welcome to Assembly Hall, we're happy to have you here. That's not, I mean.
You don't want that.
No, you don't. So I think Indiana's fan base is got to be up there. Illinois, if not tied right behind them.
Yeah.
Those would be – Louisville, I think, at times can be pretty crazy.
Yeah. NC State was really bad. They've been bad to me over the years. Like, I kind of – I usually – feel it out on Twitter. Like, Twitter's the way I can kind of tell. And that's not fair necessarily because you've got a younger audience, obviously, on Twitter. But those NC State fans, and obviously, yes, you know me. Sometimes I'll kind of needle certain fan bases when I know.
Yeah, right. You're freaking taking – needling is not the word.
All right.
You are inciting fan bases. The goofy tweeted out like the Steven stuff. I knew you were just sitting on your phone giggling like a little kid as you tweeted out that he was going to, you know, do something else.
I had to ask him. I felt it was my obligation to ask him.
That's high journalistic integrity by you.
Had to do it because those fans, that like Titus, I just wanted Titus to understand that it wasn't going to happen. I was doing it for Mark Titus and some of those other delusional Indiana fans. That
what a guy you are.
Brad Stevens.
What about Purdue's fan base? Would you put them? I mean, they're pretty passionate.
Top 10. Yeah, Purdue. You know, the thing with Purdue's fans, I don't know if I've ever gotten them to hate. Like, I don't think they've ever hated me enough. So, like,
see, I feel like in order to hate you, there has to be some really perfect storm conditions. Like, for Kentucky and Indiana, their histories are so good that when they're bad, it can, like, and Purdue's history is great, but it when you're talking about national championships and Final Fours, it's not the same as those.
I think the most upset they ever got at me when I'll put out there something like the top atmospheres, and I won't put Mackey in the, you know, at one point I didn't have him in the top 10. Now I do.
That's egregious. They should be upset. That is easily a top 10 atmosphere and has been for – it's like when we used to play the – remember the video game NCAA basketball?
Yeah.
They in that game, which we would play all the time as players, and believe me, we would just – it was so fun. Like, we'd play as ourselves.
Yeah.
And they would rank the top 25 atmospheres. And if you had one that was a venue that was a top 25, you could start, like, during free throws, mashing buttons, and, like, the screen would shake. And Purdue wasn't even the top 25. See? We were like, dude, we played these games, and this place is better than 99% of the places we play. How is this possible? And you know what? It's because of people like you who didn't even have us in the top 10 is why NCAA basketball 09 had us like 50th in arena atmosphere.
How was your athleticism in that game? Did they,
you know
they
what? I could not shoot for shit, but if you gave me the ball on the block, I would murder anybody. They did not have me.
Shut right. up.
I swear. Seriously? Yes. It was like, I would edit my player. I was like, please, 75 3-point shooting. Like, this is at least 90, 95. So I crank that up, and then I would not touch the post thing because, you know, I didn't want to, even though my rating in that was way too
so high. Would you take away when you added to your own, would you take away have to take away from like each one by adding to you?
No, I would just suit me up is what I would do. I was just like, make me Make me a super player so that I can.
Unstoppable. Robbie Hummel is unstoppable.
This is what I want in real life. So this is what.
It's like Larry Bird.
This is great. Bobby Riddell, one of our walk-ons, he was in the game one of the years, and they made him so athletic. I mean, Bobby's like 5'11", flamethrower shooter. He's going out there. You put him in the game, he'd drive the ball and just tomahawk on guy. I mean, it was like he had to be so hyped because the video game made him sick. He was so good in the game.
They must have confused him with somebody else, right?
I don't know who. Yeah, freaking Vince Carter or something. I don't know. He see the dunk he was throwing down.
Oh, man. All right. Before we move off craziest fan bases, I do want to just apologize to the Lubbock faithful, to the Red Raider fans for putting him last, for anything that I might have said that offended Lubbock, Texas. I was there a couple of years ago. Again, love the town, love the city. It is a little bit tough to get to. And that's kind of my take on the Texas Tech job a little bit. Is it's not quite as easy to get kids there. Now, again, Mark Adams just done one hell of a job, and I didn't know he'd be able to do this as a head coach. But listen, we'll see. Right now, they're ecstatic because they got Chris Beard coming to town on February 1st. Oh, Rob.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be hilarious.
And they got their chest puffed out. They're ready to go because now – they're all going to be and they're, you know what their nickname is for Beard?
What?
Country Club Chris. Because he went to Texas. Good, he went to the country club.
That's pretty good.
It is.
You know what? I respect Texas Tech's fan base just because they really believed that he was going to stay and that he was one of them. And when he didn't, boy, it's on now.
And they believe their job is better. They believe their job is better. And in one way, it is.
The fans, because they're in Texas, yes. They do it. They don't care at all.
Nope.
I mean, the fans there are so just whatever. I mean, there's a lot to do in Austin. They find ways to fill that football stadium, but they don't.
You know what you're not getting to Lubbock, though? And this is what I try to tell their fan bases. You're not getting Kevin Durant to Lubbock, Texas. You're not. You're getting him to Austin. You're getting him to Texas. To me, that's why Chris Beard left. He got to a national title game.
Well, I mean, he was a manager there. I mean, he's gone to school at Texas. So, while I think the problem lied in the fact that he had ingratiated himself to the fans so much and, don't worry, I won't leave. And then, when in reality, I think if you're more honest, even if it's not what they want to hear necessarily on the back end, it wouldn't be maybe as bad. They wouldn't like him because they hate Texas. But I don't think he would be the same level of.
No, he needed to come out. He needed to come out and say, hey, I'm going home. This is where I went to. If I was him, I would have said that 1,000 straight times every time I was interviewed was, hey, listen, I'm home now. This is where I went to school. It's nothing against Texas Tech. I'm here not because I think Texas is a better job, but if you have a chance to coach your alma mater, you do it. You do it. Period. So I think that's probably where he screwed up, if anything. That atmosphere.
The fact that he didn't, that makes this all the much better for us to watch on February 2nd, whenever this game is.
February 1st. I'm going to try to get out there. I got some issues here with my dog, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pull away for that long. We'll see. That'll be a hell of a game. The stretch now we're starting. I feel like every night now in college basketball, Rob,
your game.
We have a big time game, right? Like we got one Friday night, Michigan State at Wisconsin. That is a heavyweight matchup. Then we talked about certainly the Auburn Kentucky game. So before we get to our coach of the years, we'll finish with that. Michigan State, Wisconsin. So the biggest question I have, and everybody should have this, is not about Michigan State, but it is Wisconsin for real, for real. Like, we know they're for real as far as Johnny Davis is concerned, that he's, to me, the National Player of the Year front runner today. Now, it's still wide open. Yeah, anybody can take it.
A lot of games to be played.
Ton of games and big, big games, right? But Wisconsin's resume, Rob.
It's amazing.
Right?
It's maybe as good as anybody in the. I think they have 7 quad one wins.
Yes, and one of the two losses
is Northwestern on the road. That's probably another one. I think they're top 75 net, which would give them.
Who has 2 better losses than what they've had? One has come without your star player.
Providence without Johnny Davis. Ohio State on the road,
right?
Which was never really competitive, but right. I mean they've got wins over. Full strength Houston, legit. St. Mary's, fringe NCAA tournament team, neutral.
Yep.
Indiana at home, Purdue road, Iowa home, Maryland road's not quad one. Ohio State home, Northwestern away. I mean, that is a heck of a resume. It really
the
is.
Win against and Purdue and Mackey. Too. Yeah. The win against Purdue and Mackey is as good as any win this season.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is that I did the game, and I felt like for 35 minutes, Johnny Davis, who was amazing, he had 37 points.
Amazing.
I remember saying during the game, if one other Badger will just make a play with him, they will win. That's how it was. I mean, their big guys were battling Purdue's bigs, and they got in foul trouble. But it was like if one dude will just step up to the plate and make a big shot, and it was Brad Davison. He did. It was just – Purdue, I thought, butchered the scouting report of that game. What they wanted to do, they did not execute well defensively. And they were better, I thought, at Illinois. It'll be a test tonight to see if they can replicate that in another big-time environment in Illinois or at Indiana. But for Wisconsin, Tyler Wall's starting to play a lot better, and he's a real versatile piece. I mean, he can guard
like him
1-4. He doesn't shoot it well. I think he's only made 2 or 3 threes on the year. Yep. He can get you a bucket on the block. He can drive it. Their bigs know their role with Crowell and Chris Vogt. Hepburn has been a nice player as a freshman, I would say. I think they think he's going to be really good, and he's just playing his role. Davison has been a big part of it too. I mean, he is a thorn in the side of everybody in the Big Ten. But you know what? Say what you want about him, but he can play. I mean, he defends you, and he can make shots, and he can do some things out there. I know
– He's fearless.
He does not care. Big Ten fans are all over him, but he is a player. He really is. And you put him
alongside – what Johnny Davis needs.
Totally. Somebody that can make a shot.
Right.
Johnny Davis, I agree with you. I think if the season ended today, he would be the National Player of the Year.
Should be.
His performances against good teams. Houston, I want to say he was like 28, 29. Yeah. Purdue, 37. I mean, he has gone.
Wait, 37. Nuclear. And you remember how many rebounds he had?
I want to say 14.
14. 14 rebounds.
No, I know. He has had some ridiculous scoring games. He's
so I go back to it. Are they for real? Like, what is their ceiling? What do you can they be a Final Four team?
I don't.
Probably not.
I don't think so. And I think Greg Gard has done a phenomenal job of taking what happened last year. You lose all these upperclassmen. The summertime is a total cluster with the whole deal with Alonzo Tucker and the leaked recordings. I mean, that shit is hard to overcome. You keep Brad Davison, Johnny Davis becomes an All-American, and give them a lot of credit. I mean, the USA basketball stuff was very helpful in that regard, but he did that. I'm sure a lot of that's done at Wisconsin, the work he put in the summer. I will say this. I know the Michigan State game, it's a home game, is huge Friday. A show-me game for them, and they don't have to win it, but Wednesday, February 2nd at Illinois, that's going to be much like the Purdue-Illinois game, off the chain and atmosphere. I think they can prove a lot against Michigan State, but the Illinois game to me is going to be a good barometer of when we go on the road again. And the Purdue win was tremendous, but I don't know. I still want to see more, I guess, which is unfair to them because they've just been doing it all year.
I know. It's like, how much more can they show you?
Yeah, I'm sure any Wisconsin fan should be like, well, why? You know, right. Like we beat Houston at full strength. We beat Purdue. We've beaten Iowa. We've beaten Ohio State. You know, they've had a heck of a year.
So Greg Gard, to me, has to warrant some Coach of the Year conversation for all this, right? Because, again, they weren't usually when I do Coach of the Year, and fairly or unfairly, I'm doing it and I'm picking guys that have exceeded expectations. You know, I'm not picking Mark Few.
Yeah, like Bill Self not winning it a lot.
Or right. Those guys just aren't doing it. So the guy I'm going with, and it goes back to the start of our pod today, I'm picking Bruce Pearl. Nobody had him in the top 25. You know, there are some other guys in there. Mark Adams deserves credit. TJ Otzelberger at Iowa State deserves credit. But to me, nobody's done a better job than Bruce Pearl. They're number one in the country, or two, whatever you want to put them. And I don't think anybody – I'd love to see what it was preseason if anybody voted him in the top 25. Nobody knew how good Jabari was. You know, nobody knew how – if they had a point guard. They were two Eastern Kentucky and College of Charleston point guards. Nobody knew their names.
Right.
So I'm giving it to Bruce Pearl for what he's done for that program, for what he's done for that team this year.
That's a good pick. I think there's a lot of guys you could go with as of right now, and it would be totally fair game. Pearl's a good selection. Greg Gard's in the conversation. TJ Otzelberger, like you said, Mark Adams, Tommy Lloyd at Arizona. Yeah. I'm going to go a little outside the box, and I'm going to go Kelvin Sampson. They're 16-2. They are decimated by injury. Yeah. Decimated doesn't do justice to what they are right now. I mean, Marcus Sasser playing like an All-American, out for the year. Tremont Mark, super talented lefty, done for the year, shoulder surgery. Just lost Jamal Shedd as their starting point guard. I did their game 2 weeks ago, and Kelvin Sampson literally said to us, he goes, you know, we can play three guards right now. We can play Kyler Edwards, Jamal Shedd, who's now out, Tajay Moore. Outside of that, and Ramon Walker. Ramon Walker as well. Wow. So there's four. After that, he's like, we'll have to – I think Ryan Elvin's a walk-on. He was like, we might have to go to Ryan Elvin because we just – now, their front court is good. And Josh Carlton, the UConn transfer, has had a heck of a year. They're playing through him. I mean, think about this. He got beat out by Sanogo last year. There's no – you know, nothing wrong with that. Sanogo's a beast. But he got COVID, got injured, fell out of the rotation, transferred, and – guys get better at Houston, man. They develop dudes. Look at Quentin Grimes. Look at some of the guys they've had transfer in there. They're going to make you work. You're going to have to play Kelvin's style of play, which is tough, physical, pound you on the glass, defend your ass off. But, man, if you do that, he'll rock with you on offense. Like, he will let you get your game on too. So I'm going to go Kelvin Sampson because I think he's done a heck of a job.
No, that's a heck of a pick. One thing before we finish, again, circling back to Kentucky, there was a report by ESPN that Shaedon Sharpe, they're talented. He was supposed to be a senior. He's from Canada. I saw him play a bunch in the summer, this past summer at the Peach Jam. 6'5", 6'4", guard. Scoring point, but can do it all. He enrolled about a week ago, and he's eligible for the NBA draft this year, according to ESPN.
Wait, why?
They didn't think he was going to be eligible. I don't know why he's eligible, probably because he's from Canada. Maybe the rules, he's going to be 19, but he's not. Whether he's a year removed from
high school.
Right. It would be that. And I don't know how maybe because he enrolled early, they're counting him a year removed. I don't know. It's not quite. But whatever the case, that's the report. Shaedon Sharpe on campus. To me, I think he'd be in the equation for the number one. Maybe not the number one pick, but he's not far off. Like, you'd put him in the discussion, in my opinion. You know, Paolo.
And Paolo?
I think he's four, and I think he's closer to, I think he's closer than you think to those three.
Boy, the rich get richer, huh? I mean, that is insane.
Now, do you play it? You have Ty, you have Wheeler. You're already on January 20th. You haven't played him. He's only been on campus for a week. What do you do with them, Rob, with a talent like that? Do you just say, hey, you know what? We're gonna sit him this year, and he's going to play next year, and he's going to be much further along because he's already been in class. He's already watched us play. He's been in practice every day all of, you know, February and part of January.
I guess I would see him in practice every day, see how he fits in with the group, and – because he's that talented, if he is as talented as you say, I don't know if this is Ty Washington Jeff or this is Maryland Bench Jeff talking. I'm not sure which side it is.
Probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, find yourself in the middle here. If he is that talented and there's a good rapport with the guys and he's practicing well, then I would say, all right, start working him in.
I agree with you. I agree. I don't think
you can't just be like, here's 30 minutes a game.
Correct.
That could blow the team up.
Because he's a freshman who just got on campus. So you don't even know. So how many times have we seen it with kids that in AAU ball, you watch them and you're like, oh my God, like Cliff Alexander is a great example. Okay. Right. Like in AAU ball, he was a monster. Yeah, well, he was just going up and down the court.
Right. He's so much more physically advanced.
Shaedon Sharpe is a physical freak. I don't know defensively, are you going to be able to put him out there and is he going to understand after being on campus?
It's a different level when you go from high school to college and high school games when you're just out there coasting and all of a sudden they're like, no, you're going to get in a stance. And when you're off the ball, you're going to pay attention and you're going to be help side and we're going to post trap and we're keeping him left on every ball screen and we're keeping him right and him like, and it gets individualized. Different animal from what high school is, where they're like, yeah, just hang out because we need you on offense. So just kind of stay close to your guy and maybe block some shots and get some steals.
He could be a hell of an insurance policy, though. Like, what if Sevier gets hurt again? What if Ty gets hurt again? You got him there, and if you want to bring him out of his supposed red shirt, whatever you want to call this, then you have him there and you see how he is in 2 weeks. I think if you're John Calipari, you wait. You're certainly not thinking about it this soon.
No.
You wait another week. Wait another and take it a week-by-week deal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, but he is super talented.
It's never happened before. Like, I don't remember a situation like this where some random dude just comes in and rolls, is eligible, and is that talented.
Who did Viscovi? Didn't he come in late to Tennessee?
Well, Viscovi's not going to be a top four pick.
No. I'm not talking at that. Yeah, I'm not saying at this level. No, I don't think anybody's done it in basketball at this level. But I'm saying, like, guys have joined, international guys more so, have joined at, like, this. But usually it's mid-December, Rob. We're not talking – we're going to be at February 1st.
We're a quarter of the way through conference play in a lot of these leagues.
That's really hard. That's really hard to put on the kid.
Not practicing nearly as much.
If you're the kid,
what you're doing are pretty installed. You know, that's tough.
If you're his family or his people around him, aren't you saying, hey, you know what? Practice. I'm not sure this is worth it. We need to protect you, not throw you out there to the wolves when you're not ready. Let's go. The original plan was come here, get ahead of the game. Now you're going to be fighting behind. It's a completely different set of circumstances.
Yeah, so it's a gray shirt in football. It's like one of those quarterbacks that enroll in January, or not just quarterbacks, whoever.
Yeah.
Just to get ahead of the game, and then you get a running start.
I love the move for him, and I think he's going to be terrific next year. All right. Well, listen. Enjoy your Saturday off. I will be bugging the absolute hell out of you.
I expect nothing.
Maybe you can make a cameo on After Dark if you're
maybe.
It's me, Doster, and Gottlieb on Saturday night.
Nice. All right.
I don't think you'll get a word in with Gottlieb doing it, but
probably not. And you know, host Doster now. He's running the show. He's the point guard. I was watching the other night.
Point guard who doesn't know how to pass.
Point guard who can't pass on shit.
It's a tough deal when you always want to shoot and you're, you know, and put in a position where you should be setting guys up. It's tough. Tough. So. All right, well, listen. Thanks for joining us. Goodman and Helpful Podcast. Make sure you watch, listen every single week. And we'll see you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.